Good evening. It's good to see you all here, and hope you're ready for a very important topic, just as all of them are. Before we begin, though, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read three verses. Matthew 13, verse 44. The parable of the hidden treasure, and then the parable of the pearl of great price. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's ask God for his help as we speak and listen tonight. Gracious, eternal Lord, we thank thee for this beautiful day. Thank thee for this time that we can gather as young people. Thank thee, Lord, that once again we can open thy word and understand its truth, but also the enormity of that truth. We pray then that thou would help us tonight to speak clearly, to be able to listen. And Lord, help us to grasp the enormous importance and impact that this ought to have in our lives. Lord, help us not to take thy word lightly. Help us not to take the authority of thy word lightly. So we pray for thy help, thy spirit in this evening. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen. The top of your handout, you'll see one additional verse, which has been my basic structure for tonight's talk, and that's from Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. The theme of camp this year is stewardship. How can we be stewards? How can we properly take care? What motivates us? But tonight's question is, how can we be stewards of truth? This could take on many different forms. We could talk about spiritual truths. We could talk about biblical truths. We could talk about creation truths. We could talk about scientific truths. We could talk about life truths. But I want to step back from all those discussions, as valuable and as necessary as they are, and ask a more fundamental question. How are you going to be stewards of absolute truth? In a world that is hostile to the basic idea that truth exists, how are you going to go out of these doors and be stewards of truth? You go to college or watch a movie even, you're going to hear things like this, quote, facts matter not at all. Perception is everything. End of quote. Or another quote, the belief that there is only one truth and that one is in possession of it is the root of all evil in the world. End of quote. Or another quote, the more I see, the less I know for sure. Nothing is real. End of quote. Now, all these things are ideas, and they're all coming. It might just sound like words, but it's coming against this absolute truth. And so, as we consider this, I want to introduce it with a story it's not a story, it's a fable, that you may have heard before, and that's the six blind men who approached the elephant. And the first man comes up, the first blind man comes up to the elephant, and he feels what he's come across, and he feels the sturdy side of the elephant, and he thinks, an elephant's like a wall. Elephants are walls. And the second man comes up to the tusk, and he grabs the tusk, and he feels it gets sharp at the end, and he thinks, oh, the elephant's a spear. Spears are elephants. Elephants are spears. Third man grabs the trunk of the elephant, can swing a little bit, twist, turn. It says, elephants are like snakes. The fourth grabs the leg and says, no, elephants are actually like trees. And the fifth comes up and he grabs the ear, and the ear flaps and it creates some wind and says, oh, the elephant's like a fan. The sixth one comes up and he takes hold of the tail, feels the breaking apart of tail at the end, and he says, oh, this is like a rope. Elephants are like ropes. And supposedly the moral of this fable often is told that we're like these men, and what we can know, or the truth that we experience, is actually only our experiences. We only have perceptions because we come up to this thing and we only know a little part of it, and therefore we don't know the reality of it, and so we don't know anything, actually. Now, all of this, elephant talk, is true if you believe that these are blind men who've never seen a real elephant. But this is the spiritual impact of this. God's revealed elephants. He's made elephants. He's made real elephants. He's made them different than spears and trees and trunks and fans and ropes. And you need God to open your eyes, to heal your blindness, so that you don't just see a part, so you don't see it wrongly, but so you actually see the whole and you see it as it really is. We need our eyes opened so that we see the truth of what's before us. Buy the truth. Get the truth. Have your eyes by grace opened to the truth of what's before you. And so the first main division on your outline is getting truth, or from Proverbs we might say buying truth. One of history's most infamous politicians asked one of the most basic questions of all time. Pilate, in front of Jesus, asks, what is truth? Many years later, another politician, Winston Churchill, quipped that men occasionally stumble across truth, but most of them pick themselves up, shake themselves off, and continue on the road as if nothing happened. But we can't do that. When truth is in front of us, we can't just shake it off and continue on our way as if nothing's happened. We need to stop. Truth is defining. So the first thing to get or to buy is that, this is point A, or point A under two, I guess, that there is an absolute truth. It's for all people. It's for all time, it's in all places, it's in all cultures. There is an absolute truth. For example, God set forth, revealed, maintained through time, his unchanging standard of right and wrong. He wrote it on the heart of Adam. He put it on tables of stone for Moses and the Israelites. He repeated it throughout history. So Jesus comes in his time on earth and he says, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass or disappear from the law. Truth isn't going to change. Truth is moral, but it's also intellectual and practical. Think of it as a compass. We believe that, we don't believe, we know. Compass can determine for us what is true north. It establishes for us directions. Now, if we all had our own compass and we all said, this is going to be north for me and that's going to be north for you, and okay, now let's follow the directions and see where we get, we'd all go in different ways. It would all be random. There is a true north. But there is also an absolute truth. Second thing to get about truth is that truth corresponds to the things, to the way things really are. Truth is reality. Now, people, you and I, we can't create this reality. It's revealed to us. We may learn of it. And in that sense, we can know the truth. But that's why the rest of Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, "Buy the truth, sell it not." Yes, wisdom and instruction and understanding. It's practical knowledge, it's moral culture, it's our discernment. That's why Christianity is liberating and freeing for all cultures, all time. What does John say in his gospel? Through Christ you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so I challenge you tonight to take all of your thoughts and your questions and ask this basic question: what does God say about, and then fill in the blank, this? And ask yourself the big questions, and then ask yourself, what does God say about who I am? What does God say about who my neighbors are? What does God say about where I came from? What does God say about where I am going to? What does God say about what happens when I die? What does God say about what's right and wrong? What does God say about why evil exists? What does God say about why anything at all matters? What does God's word tell us about why we crave relationships? Why do we crave beauty? Why do we crave justice? Go to God's word. The right answer will never be discerned by saying, "Well, I'm comfortable with this, so I'll do this." There's a truth that you need to buy to answer these questions. And the third point on to see then is you cannot buy this truth with things like money, but buying the truth will cost you something. And the command in Proverbs is that we give up everything we have in order to get this truth. Buy the truth. Be like these men in this parable who sold everything else they had so that they could gain this great pearl. A man may be born clever. A man may be born talented. A man may be born a genius. A man may be born a poet. A man may be born rich, but he's never born wise. He has to buy the truth at a great cost. There's no market in the world that you can go to and buy truth for just a couple dollars. You can buy maybe a little bit more beauty. You can buy a little bit more popularity. You can buy cheap jewelry. But to find the truth is costly. It's going to mean persistence. It's going to mean discipline. It's going to mean constant plodding, even when you feel it's boring. But by the truth. One person's described truth as guardrails. Guardrails that are along the road, and these guardrails are put there to protect us from going over. No one's going to come, if you're a traveler down this road, and you're going to come and you're going to say, "These guardrails are useless. Let's get rid of them. They're just impinging on my freedoms because I want to go over here." No one's going to say, "Oh, they're useless because they just scratched my car." No, if you come up to the cliff and you look past the guardrails, you'll see all those crashed cars on the bottom of the ravine, and you're going to say, "I'm thankful these guardrails are here. It kept me from going over." The wise person wants guardrails that are stable, that are strong, that are going to last, and he's not going to sell those guardrails for anything. And yet, the truth of Proverbs put it, said even more simply, buy the truth and sell it not. That's why point two on your outline, or your main point two, is keeping truth. And if you go to the market, it's easy to buy. It's maybe a little bit more difficult to sell. But when it comes to the truth, it's easy to, in a sense, sell the truth, to get rid of it instead of something else. It's harder to buy. But buy it. And then keep it. Don't discard it for other things. Because ultimately, truth is God's truth. The devil's going to come and he's going to rage against it. And like in the garden and like in the wilderness, he's going to come and he's going to try and be subtle, and he's going to try and get you to look elsewhere, sell it for other things. He's going to say, sell truth for this short-term advantage. Let me give you this instead. You just give up this category of truth for 10, 20, 50, 80 years. But be like Moses. Moses, as he came to be an adult, chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy these pleasures for a little time. He was buying the truth and not selling it for the pleasures of Egypt. And there's four competing things in today's world especially that want you to give up truth. And that's the four points on your outline. So my first subpoint here is, don't sell the truth for whatever works. How many times have you said whatever works? Sure, I have. But it's actually dangerous when it comes to moral and categorical things. But yet people believe it. It's not true, it doesn't matter, it's just whatever works. One person actually said, a statement is known to be true if it brings the right results. Think about it for a minute. A statement is true if it brings the right results. You and I are in a courtroom. You're the defendant, person who's accused something. And I'm a witness. And I don't like you. So the lawyer comes up and he says, did she do this? I say, yes, she did. If whatever works is true, and I want you to go to jail, is what I say, for my purposes, truth? Did you do it? No, but yet the theory is that if my statement works for me, it's true. So you see, we can't believe this lie. Whatever works for our purposes does not mean it's true. There's many people who say this is true even for religion. If it works for you, go ahead. Just be consistent. Whatever works does not bring us the truth. It does not allow us to buy or bring us to buying the truth. To say that the fascist and the Jew are equally right is distasteful and wrong. Second, challenge. We have to not sell the truth for the false pearl of tolerance. People will tell you, just be tolerant. And tolerance used to mean that you would put up with someone or something in spite of the fact that you didn't like or agree with them. But today, tolerance is this new thing, and it's going to grab you, and it's going to say, not only do you have to just put up with them, but it's going to grab you to the point that you must value other people's opinions more than your own. You begin to devalue your own. And if you're not, you're labeled as intolerant. And it's not even that your view is intolerant, it's you are intolerant. Tolerance is one of society's false pearls. They want you to give up the truth in order to be tolerant But imagine this. Imagine Consumers Report getting attacked as intolerant because they rated one car better over the other. And it's not just that people like the one car better than the other. Consumers Report actually says this is better because it gets better gas mileage, it gets better this, it lasts longer, it's got a better warranty. They're using facts to substantiate their thoughts. But no one says, Toyota doesn't come up to Consumers Report and sue them because Consumers Report rated the Chevy truck better. But when it comes to religion, this happens all the time, and are we letting it happen? See, don't sell the truth for the false pearl of what feels good, because feelings are today's big distraction. Society wants you to think that your feelings matter. So we get images, we get sounds, and all of it's a distraction so that you never stop and consider it. Be still and know that I am God. Man is made for thinking about truth and the big questions. But society comes with diversions and colors and lights and sounds, and it's all distraction from the truth. And it gets harder even to live out. So it's easier to go to something that makes me feel good, even if it's just for 2 hours, than to sit quietly and think about the big truth questions of life and where I'm at and where I should be. But let me give you another example. It's like walking in those places, science museums or other places, where these halls have curved mirrors. You know, if I go through one of these halls and I look at the mirrors, legs are a little bit shorter, torso is a little thinner, shoulders are a lot wider, put the arm out, the muscles are huge, I can smile and grin and think, this makes me feel real good. You know, I walk out of those curved mirrors, my belt's still the same size, shoulders are still just as wide. The reality is there, in spite of all the perceptions and what might make me feel good. There's an example recently of an Oreo commercial. I didn't see it, but I read about it, where Oreo was obviously trying to get people to buy their cookie. But what they did is they flashed 30 smiling faces of children in a row, like 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 30. And then they just put the little Oreo trademark at the end. And that was the commercial. And the point was, you want smiling children, buy Oreos. And there's no facts there. There's not even statistics, or there's not even nutritional value or anything substantial. It's just, you want a smiley kid, buy Oreos. And that's the way we're being, I was going to say trained, but I hope not. But that's what society is throwing at us. You do what feels good. It makes you smile for a minute at least. But don't think about the truth of the situation. But don't sell the truth for whatever feels good. Don't hear with your eyes, think with your feelings. But hear with your ears, think with your head. The fourth one here is, don't sell the truth for the false pearl of, that's what you think, this is what I think. We're allowed to have personal preferences. I prefer chocolate ice cream over most other flavors. But these preferences do not apply to truth. We can't go around saying, because you prefer to do this, then it's okay, period. Now, there are things it's okay to do, and other people may differ. But in a society where we start to see things like honor killings, we can't go around and say, because you are defending your family name, we'll allow you to do that to your daughters. No, there is a truth, and it has to be defended, and it has to be prosecuted. Just because other people's way of living may differ. case you don't think that it's actually that bad, let me just give you this note. The 2005 word of the year was truthiness. It's a word in the dictionary. Merriam-Webster word of the year 2006 was truthiness. And truthiness, in one definition, says this: it is what I say is right, and nothing else says, and nothing anyone else says could possibly be true. It's not only that I feel it, it's that I feel it. Because I feel it to be right, it is right. It's something society is celebrating. Don't sell the truth for truthiness. Think of a colorblind person. Have the blind analogy again. A colorblind person may see they're thinking something and describe it a certain way. But those of us who aren't colorblind know that it's not the way they're describing. Now, all these things are being held up, they're being marketed, they're being advertised, it's being pushed through school, movies, radio, song, books, whatever. But it's coming at you. And are you going to buy the truth and not sell it? Or are you going to know the truth, have the truth in your hands, and sell it for these fake pearls that are coming to you? There's many things that happen that we don't actually connect the dots to. But this buying and selling of truth is happening every day. And are we going to see it or not? How many of you heard about the shootings in California a couple weeks ago? A young man went to university and he opened fire from his BMW, or car was involved anyways. Killed 6 people, injured 7 others. The media said it was because of his autism and his frustration at being turned down by girls. And that was their report. But this young man's father was one of the directors of the movie Hunger Games. Hunger Games is a story where teenagers go out and kill each other to see who's superior. Now, none of the media reports are making that connection. But the shooter himself said, "If I can't have you girls, I will destroy you. You will finally see I am superior." Now, this is the entertainment. But are we going to buy into it? Or are we going to say there's a truth? Are we going to see the connections between what we take in with our eyes and ears and what goes on in our heads and our lives? Are we going to say, "I'm going to guard my heart from all these things so that I can walk in the truth"? I'm not going to buy into the what works for me so I can go and do it. Now we come to point E, living the truth. John Bunyan describes Christian and Faithful in the City of Vanity. And they're walking through Vanity Fair. And all these things are being advertised to them. But as they hear this commercialism, Bunyan describes them as putting their fingers in their ears, looking up to heaven, and walking on. And other sellers come out and they say, "Christian, Faithful, what are you going to buy? Buy this, buy this, buy this." Bunyan has them ears plugged, eyes up, walking on, saying, we will buy the truth. Buy the truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding, practical knowledge, moral discipline, discernment. We will buy this truth. We're not going to be distracted. And so as we come to this, in a sense, application point, living the truth, are you a Christian? Then live as a Christian. Be a Christian who lives not the false pearls, but the truth. Augustine said, the truth is like a lion. Let it loose. So Christians have to do less talking, talk defending, and more living the truth. I want to give you three points here, and they're not, it's not the whole picture again, but just things I want you to see today. And the first point in living the truth is clarity. Can you live clearly? In terms of how you see others, how you see the media, how you see movies, how you see news, how you see internet, how you see the political debates that you hear about every day. Because the social definitions of marriage, the 50-plus gender options on Facebook, the court decisions about healthcare and sexuality, the scientific focus on cloning, the movies about the supernatural and how the world might end, all of these things ultimately aren't just entertainment. It's trying to get you to buy something that's false. Discard the truth, it's saying. But if you live clearly, again, it comes to this point, ask yourself this question. What does God's word say about this? At the same time, clarity in how we see ourselves. You can't just follow the crowds. You can't just have the group mentality. But be clear that you are following the truth. And others may follow the truth too, and you can align with that. But if you're going to believe that the bulk of society today believes the truth, you are wrong. And then clarity also in how we see how God's word applies. Because God's word applies as truth to all areas of life. Make sure you are clear on how. Study. Think. Buy the truth. Sell it not. The second point there is humility. We have to be humble as we buy the truth, as we go about saying, I'm not going to sell the truth. Because you can't go around beating others over the head, saying, I have the truth, I'm going to carry it, and don't take it away from me, or I'll beat you up. We don't beat each other up or others up over our personal preferences, but humbly living under the authority of God's word. It's revealed to us. We didn't create it. We have to be humble as we use it. We can't be proud. Personally proud. Because what happens when we're proud, we begin to confuse truth with what I think. Let me just, this doesn't illustrate the truth so much as the pride concept. I think it's a funny story. In 1878, the British Parliament was really worried about one of the new inventions that came up, so they set a committee, and the committee was assigned to review Thomas Edison's invention of the light bulb. And the conclusion of the committee report was that this invention is good enough for our transatlantic friends, meaning the Americans, but unworthy of the attention of practical or scientific men like the Brits. Now, I think we all use the light bulb, both sides of the ocean today. But let's not let personal pride in ourselves interfere with living out truth. And then it's also humility about our walk here, relationship to truth. I might be wrong, but truth still exists, and the truth is still right. So I have to walk humbly, because I might be wrong. One author said, humility used to be a word we used in relation to ambition, not in relationship to conviction. A man was meant to be doubtful about himself, but never doubtful about the truth. But today this has been reversed. We're undoubtful about ourselves and we doubt the truth. We have to come back to being humble about ourselves, but convicted about the truth. And conviction is not the opposite of humility. Thirdly, here is boldness. We need to live boldly. We need to stand up and say, I believe that truth exists. I believe there is objective truth. You never know the impact of something that simple and bold. One atheist recently stated that religious truth repulses him at a deeper level, not just the fact that they're teaching other things differently. He said, I fear religion itself. I am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. Christians ought to want to make more people in society uneasy, because there is a truth. And it's when we realize that there is a truth, that there is a, say, the moral law, and there's a person behind that law. And it's when we realize we've broken that law and we're guilty in front of that person that Christianity offers hope. Even if someone thinks that this simple boldness is out of line with the 21st century, the reality is the 21st century is out of line with reality. Learn to speak the truth in love. Boldly. And not afraid of the consequences. Because you know what happened to Christian and Faithful in Vanity Fair? They were arrested. They were brought to trial. They were accused by these men. Envy, superstition, and Mr. Pickthink. And they were put on trial in front of a jury. And the jury included Mr. Blind Man and Mr. No Good and Mr. Love Lust and Mr. Liar and Mr. Hate Light. And guess what? Mr. Liar and Mr. Hate Light and Mr. No Good actually found Faithful and Christian guilty. They killed Faithful. We might think, how is that a defense of the truth? But that day, in Bunyan's imagination, the truthfulness of Vanity Fair was very, or the truth about Vanity Fair was very clear. And the truth about Faithful was also very clear. So I want to leave you with a challenge. Challenge. Search your hearts about whether you will buy the truth and not sell it for anything society has to offer. I want to do it by telling another illustration. And it's one from history. 1970, there's a writer living in Czechoslovakia, and he wrote an essay, An Attempt to Live in Truth. And in this essay, he tells a story of a man who had a little store. And the man sold vegetables, so out in front of his store, he had display of onions and turnips and carrots. And the man was trying to make a living, and he was working really hard at it, and he was trying to feed his family. But above his display of vegetables, he had a little sign that said, Workers of the World, Unite. And that little sign was the slogan of communism. And this author asked the question, why would that sign be there? Because the store owner's life was showing something very different than what the sign said. Because the store owner's living his own life, he's trying to mind his own business in a good sense. He's trying to be profitable, he's trying to eke out his living. He's not uniting with the workers of the world. So the author says, what's up? Why doesn't this store owner take the sign down? Why doesn't he speak his mind? Because the city leaders want him to put the sign there. Because the politicians have told him that that's what he should say. And yet this author says, that man ought to have taken the sign down because he was living a lie. He's doing one thing, he's saying another thing. Take the sign down, stop living a lie. Well, the author knew what would happen with this writing because of this work. He was jailed himself. He was poking at the government. He was poking at the city officials. And he poked them so hard with this little story that they jailed him for writing. Now, many years later, he was released. The Iron Curtain fell. Communism crumbled, at least there. And the man who was in jail became the president of his country. Now, that's just political truth. And that's not anywhere on the same level as moral truth. But what are you going to do as young people? Are you going to give up truth? Are you going to give up God's word because society wants you to say, take that sign down or put another sign up? Are you going to hide this? Are you going to live the lie? Say one thing, do another. Or are you ready to go against a society which says truth doesn't exist by going out boldly and humbly and speaking clearly and saying truth does exist? I'm going to buy the truth. I'm not going to sell it for any fake pearls you're going to give me. So as you go out tonight, this week, as you go back to school in September, are you ready to think and live and research and write and speak as if truth does exist and God has made it knowable, and a Christian who has his eyes opened can know the truth and the truth can set you free? Are you ready to stand up with Martin Luther and say and sing, and though this whole world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, I will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Because that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to those earthly powers, abideth. The spirit and the gift are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight that each one of us would have our eyes opened so that we would know thy truth, be convinced in our hearts of thy truth, and not sell it for anything else that the world holds up as attractive. Lord, help us then to go out, to live boldly, simply, humbly. Help us to be able to think clearly about all things. Help us to think about what thy word says about all things. Help us not to be deceived by the lie or the evil one. But help us, Lord, to say, as we've just sung, I am thine, Well, give me wisdom. Make me to know thy truth, I pray. For Jesus' sake.